Welcome aboard the Breakfast Club.
That's what key forwards do. Dim is right. That Charlie at the other end, he crashes packs, he hits things, he likes it, he enjoys it. Tom Jonas will stand in the way of anything. Any of our defenders will stand in the way of anything, and as the Richmond players will. So we expect key forwards to play that way, and Dimmer does too.
That is Ken Hinckley, who has coached his socks off this year with the Port Adelaide Football Club, finished the year on top, started the year on top. In fact, didn't actually move. And he stays through it. A magnificent year by the Power. And talking about a big game, of course, tonight against the Tigers, the Adelaide Oval.
That's great.
All these big blokes will stand in the way. They'll crash packs, Rammer.
No, but how good is that? Okay, that's fine, Dimmer. You want to throw Tom Lynch up about crashing patch? I'll raise you with Charlie Dixon crashing into a couple of your defenders.
Yeah, magnificent.
Let's see how we go tonight.
Magnificent.
I love it.
I'm all for that. And I reckon Boomer Harvey would be all for that. The AFL Games record holder is a big part of the team on a Friday morning. We call it the Friday Footy Preview, and preliminary final weekend is the best of the year to do it. Boomer, good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. And you're spot on, Half. I think prelim final for the fans was probably the best time of year because they could go to the MCG. It wasn't so corporate, which the grand final completely is. So everybody's looking forward to prelim, but a little bit different this year because there's no footy in Melbourne. So every week's good week in AFL finals for me, and I love those talk. Don't you love the talk, Dimmer and and Kenny Hinckley saying about their big forwards? That's football. It's going to happen. I don't think there's any scare tactics. Port players know that they're going to get hurt at some stage, and Richmond players know that it's going to be very, very hard for them as well. So it's going to be a great weekend of football.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. It's going to be great. You are one of the all-time great preliminary final specialists. When it gets to this weekend, do you start to think about the lead shooter floater over Mick Martin? Is that when you start to think about that?
what was I thinking
Did
about?
Did you play in that game? What year was that?
Oh, mate, I was about 12 years old, Daniel. I'm not that old. Come on, you're better than
what
that.
What year was that?
But you know what?
I was 94.
I was actually there with my brother, and we're sitting in the stand praying to God that North Melbourne lost that day because I was a Geelong supporter growing up. Ablett only had a 2 or 3 possessions, I reckon, and then Lee Tudor got it from the boundary, little wobbler straight into G Ablett, the Cats won, and me and my brother were very, very happy boys that day.
You know what goes unnoticed in that passage of play? One of my old teammates and one of the funniest men I've met, Johnny Barnes, he drops an absolute sitter before that. No pressure on him. Twice. So he did that in that game, obviously. And then in the grand final of 2000, obviously there's, you know, the big hoo-ha who's the first goal kicker. Barnsley again just dropped an absolute soda.
You were into Darcy Cameron last week about dropping a soda. You got to do that stuff. You're a professional footballer. You got to do that stuff. I hope you gave him some feedback.
Absolutely. He said, you're hopeless, Barnsley. What's wrong with you?
Right. You can say that after the game when you win, can't you? If you had a loss, it would have been just a little bit of a tap on the head and say, don't worry about it. But when you win, gee, you can go there and go there hard.
All right, Friday night, tonight, obviously Richmond versus Port Adelaide. When you look at this game, guys, how much reference do you put in to when they last met? Any, a little bit, or none, because Richmond's team was so different?
Take out the team for a second. I always go back and have a look at the history of these two teams. And you can't go too deep because Port's teams changed as well over the last couple of years. But I do go back to the last time they met. But you're right, Whitey. Probably the hardest one is the Richmond team because they had so many injuries and things had changed. So I do look at it, but I don't think you can put as much emphasis on it as you normally would for me.
What about you, Rammer?
Yeah, look, I put a little bit on it because I think, okay, yeah, personnel for both teams. Let's put that to one side. But it's the way Port Adelaide were able to open Richmond up in that game, and that was through run and dash, where Richmond don't like when teams come at them fast, and Port Adelaide continually came at them fast that day. You know, it was the margin was a lot more than the 21 points. It was 28 scoring shots to 17. So, yeah, that margin, Port Adelaide kicked 13 goals at 15 that afternoon. Yeah. And, like, it easily, I thought the margin could have easily been 7 or 8 goals. Port Adelaide missed 5 sitters that, just absolute sitters. That just, you know, Charlie Dixon in that game alone, he was off target, kicked 2 goals, 4. So that's the one area I think. Personnel all back in tonight. Yep, fantastic. But the one area I think that would be concerning Dimmer was how Port Adelaide opened them up. Firstly, around the contest, to win the ball around the contest, but then the speed away from that contest or the speed away from when they turned the ball over.
And just to elaborate on Rammer's point there, 80 more disposals. The inside 50s, Whitey, were 55-24 that game. Unbelievable, yeah. huge. That's 31 more inside 50s. And so the way that Rammer just explained that was absolutely perfect. And the good players played well, Rammer. You just mentioned Charlie Dixon kicking 2 goals, 4. Boke had 31, Wines 28, Gray had 22 and 3 goals. They're good players at, for Port, played really, really, really well that day.
So the issue with tonight's game for the Tigers, I feel, is they're going to want to slow Port Adelaide down. But Richmond traditionally aren't a great stoppage team. So they're not going to go, they're not going to have or want to go from one stoppage to the next. They're going to want to keep the ball in movement, but in slow movement, if you sort of understand what I mean. If Richmond try to play a stoppage game, Port Adelaide will beat them because they've got Wines, they've got Boat, they've got Pau Pepper, Robbie Gray will come up at times. So they're probably a lot more dangerous around that contest. So what the Tigers will try to do is make Port Adelaide play a kick-mark game tonight. Kick the ball, mark it, stop, slow down. Kick a ball again, sideways, slow down. Once Port Adelaide start to bring the ball back through the middle of the ground and start to attack Richmond's defenders that way, that's when it'll be concerning for the Tigers. What the Tigers want to do is they want to squeeze the ground. They love to squeeze it to one side of the ground. Get Dixon up the ground. So outside of his forward 50 to try to be taking marks around half forward, around the wing. If you've got, you know, if you've got those mids, if you've got, you know, Rosie and Butters and those guys and Dersma flying through the middle of the ground, Richmond's defenders will be all at sea because they took a lot of marks in that game, the Powers, because it wasn't just Dixon. There was Pete Laddams in that game. I think Westhoff even played in that game. So, and one of, it was Georgiades yeah. also that played in that game that really concerned the Tigers. So I don't think it's going to be turned into a stoppage game necessarily, Whitey, but Richmond will want to slow it down. They want to have a temp. They want to play a real tempo game tonight.
Yeah, well, 12 marks inside 50-5 that game in round 13, wherever it was, and they smacked them around the ball. As you rightly said, they wouldn't mind a stoppage game, Port Adelaide, because that's their bread and butter. They were 40-22 last time around, 20-5 out of the middle, which won't happen, I don't think, because the personnel that Richmond will have in there tonight, which is slightly different. But that's a game that they can really be confident in, that contest game is their bread and butter, and they can get field territory on that, play the territory game on the back of that. One thing they do need to be wary of is focusing too much on Tom Lynch, I reckon. Jack Rewalt's averaged 3 goals a game. 15 of his 17 games against the Parry kicked 3 goals. So if they put all the energy into focusing on Tom Lynch as that forward half of the Tigers with that spurt of ball, Jack's going to get off the chain. And we know that Jack's not immune to big moments and enjoying those moments too. And this is a pretty big one for his football club tonight. So they'll need to be mindful of that. You probably think that McKenzie goes to Lynch again, does he? And then Cleary goes to Jack? And Jonas rolls off as the third? Is that what happens?
This is a very, very interesting point and could be the key to the game for me because McKenzie's well undersized and he's done a good job on some big key forwards. We know that. Likes getting the ball in his hand. But, what do they do with Jonas? What do they do with Cleary? Does McKenzie be that third and come off and try to be the Grimes type where he can come off his man and do that? I don't know how it's going to work and I think it's going to be really interesting and a key to the outcome of this game for me.
My gut feel is because McKenzie played on Hawkins in the qualifying final, he may go to Lynch. I think Rewalt may be too... I think maybe too... He'll be too... Rewalt will be too agile for McKenzie. So I don't necessarily think the matchup is there, but my gut feel is Jonas will have to go to Rewalt and just play a negating game and have Cleary as your floater half. So
it's
always been the one sort of area of concern for Port Adelaide, but they've seemed to just be able to get that right with those matchups. Now, did the McKenzie and Hawkins matchup work in the first week of the finals? Well, they won the game, but Hawkins kicked five behinds and he had six shots at goal. So, you know, if he kicks four goals, people are going to say, well, that didn't work. We can't roll with that again. So that's going to be probably the fascinating. I think your stat about Riewoldt's a really good one. He does play really well against Port Adelaide. He hasn't been mentioned all this week because he had a quiet game last week. So they're going to need, you know, big numbers out of him. The other part to this is when Dusty goes forward, well, who is it? Because you have to get that matchup right when Martin goes forward. Now, it's not going to be Houston. It's probably not going to be Byrne Jones. I wouldn't have thought it's going to be Hamish Hartlett. So it's one of those other three.
Yeah, why
couldn't it be Houston, Rama?
Because they want his run. Yeah, Dusty will destroy him in a one-on-one contest deep inside forward 50. Like, Martin loves that. He loves when it's a smaller opponent. You need, like, the only one that I've really seen successful on Martin when he goes as a deep forward has been Stratton. It's because Stratton always played an awkward sort of style of game. He got off, you know, Martin, he used his legs at times to spoil the ball, and, you know, it was just an awkward matchup for Martin. But I think we'll see Martin a lot playing deep forward tonight.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Burton might have a role in all of that too.
Yeah.
But again, you want the run half there. Yeah, no, that's true.
You want that run from him.
It's a fascinating contest. Port Adelaide haven't lost a game this year when they've won the inside 50 count. A little stat for you. You can have it on your target.
During the week on the news, I've seen Michael Voss. He was talking about the game, obviously, and he said the Port like to get their ball in the forward half and lock it in.
Yep.
And that comes back to that stoppage game, Rama, that they will play stoppage after stoppage from, you know, 80 metres out, because they do score from forward stoppages as well. You mentioned Gray on the move all the time. Boat gets his hand on the football. If they can do that and lock it in, because Richmond, again, we just keep coming back to it, but every single time they're not going to change. We know how they play. They play that surge mentality football. They will get it, and that's why they don't like stoppages, because they knock it on, etc., and get the ball forward their way. But if Port can do that, get the ball and lock it in, that's going to be another key factor to this game.
Well, Boomer, you talked before about the inside 50 differential the last time they played. Richmond didn't score in the last quarter when they last met. Now, again, it is different because the players that didn't play for Richmond that day, but it's similar as well in that it's the same ground, and Port Adelaide had a style that did worry Richmond on that particular occasion. And the ruck situation still is a factor, I think, in this match, because Port Adelaide have got two ruckmen that have played very well all year, and that's where Richmond have been a little bit light. Nankervis has missed a bit of footy this year. Perhaps he's not as good as he was. Soldo, all that sort of thing. Interesting.
All right. Let's have a look at who you think might win this one. We've got a special guest on the line too, just has popped up, which is good business. Boomer, first up, you're our Friday specialist. Who wins?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Port Adelaide. I think if they play to their potential and their good players play well again, which is in a prelim final, they should be standing up. The fact that it's on the same ground as Whitey mentioned, the inside 50s from last time, I think Port get the win tonight.
Rama, who wins?
I think the Tigers will be smart enough to slow this game down completely tonight. So it might be a little bit of a bore fest for us as fans, but it's going to be tight. So I'm going to go the Tigers just. I'm talking 2 points. I think it's going to be a really tight contest.
Whitey, who wins?
Oh, look, it could easily go either way. I'm going with Port Adelaide. I just think they have been the best team all year, and they did beat Richmond, albeit Richmond under strength. I'm going with the home team, but I hate going against Richmond in a final.
I'm going with the Power. I think they're almost good things. Almost good things, the Power.
Almost.
Yep. Well, as close as you can get the prelim, we're pretty tight. There's not too many prelims against Richmond you're going to be confident in, but I think if you can be, this is the time to be for Port Adelaide, and they can win it. There you go.
What's ins and outs, right, Daniel? Did you do the ins and outs for the game?
No ins and outs. Didn't need
no
to.
Change.
No change. And I think we'll probably get no
That's
change
exactly
for the other
point.
Game too.
Exactly my point, Daniel.
That's a good point. Good pickup.
We're not... Huff, we're not going to know until after this game's played tonight, but Richmond's form is coming in. Richmond's form, I mean, they lost to Brisbane and, yeah, they beat St Kilda, but I still don't think they're quite at their best.
New case numbers tonight in Corona, today in coronavirus. Daniel Huff, Carlton days. Two. That's a good result for the punters at home.
So we can go to the pub on Sunday?
Well, I'm coming to your place. Mark Stevens is going to be there too. He can't get enough. The chief AFL reporter with Channel 7, of course, he's our main man here on RSN 927 as well. And he's been sniffing around this Adam Treloar story, and I want to find out more. Steve-O, good morning.
Yeah, morning, guys. It's an interesting one. I've been on this all week. Copped a little bit of criticism for it. Of course, Treloar was on 360. He spoke well, said, I'm contracted, I love Collingwood. But what he wasn't asked is, can you guarantee you will be at Collingwood next year? Now, I believe he won't be at Collingwood. I think it's only an outside chance. In fact, he'll stay at Collingwood. I think he's happy enough to stay at Collingwood. But Collingwood, I think, see him as perhaps tradable, and I think he'll be a big story of the trade week that he is preparing perhaps to go to another club. It won't necessarily be Gold Coast, as is being suggested, of course, with the netball link. Of course, Gold Coast have that early pick. But if it gets to the stage where he would be on the trade table, it's up to him to decide where to go. He will be very strong on where he wants to go. Obviously, he's in contract, but my mail is that only an outside chance that Adam Treloar will be at Collingwood next year. And it was an interesting few days in the hub just after the last game where, the recent interviews and whatever, and Collingwood are getting adventurous in what they're doing. And I think they're prepared to trade Adam Treloar. They haven't, of course, said that publicly, but I think that's the twist in the story.
Wow. So isn't he contracted till 2025 or something?
Yeah, it is a long one. It is a long one. So, of course, Collingwood are looking to get players in. And, I'm told that he's now preparing at least for a busy trade period and perhaps looking at some options. So certainly wouldn't rule out Adam Treloar leaving. And if you've listened to that interview, he didn't actually say he's definitely staying. He's just saying, look, I'm contracted. He was saying all the right things, of course, spoke very well. And he'd be a great pickup for somebody. So I think there's a lot to play out with Adam Treloar and the Magpies.
All right. Well, that's bubbling along, Stephen. You've been on it since the start. So well done on that. We'll look forward to seeing where it all ends up. But it's a big story if that's going to be one of the big headline acts through the trade period, whenever that starts and goes for 15 years. We're looking forward to it all happening, Steve-O. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Huff. Can't pick against Richmond in a big final. I'm on the Tigers.
Thought you might be. Mark Stevens, chief AFL reporter with Channel 7, Hub Life, and loving his work here on RSN 927 as well. We'll get to a break. We'll come back, talk about Geelong and Brisbane, or Brisbane and Geelong, and then go through the Friday face-off as well on a Friday night. We can't get enough of that on the Breakfast Club. They've registered at the website rsn.net.au. My word, you have. And we're very pleased about that. Michael Felgate not too far away in Racing Pulse, but we've got another game to talk about with Brent Harvey, the AFL Games record holder, on the Friday footy preview. And it is tomorrow night at the Gabatoir, the Brisbane Lions hosting the Cats in the preliminary final. It looks as though we'll have no change in that game either, which would be fantastic on preliminary final weekend. Teams fully firing, fit and fully in full strength and playing for a spot in the grand final. And the Brisbane Lions have had a week off, Boomer. And they got a chance to watch the Cats absolutely demolish the Magpies from the very first moment of that clash last week. How do they stop this machine, or are the Cats more worried about the Lions tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't know who's worried about more than the other one is, because I think this is a riveting game. You know what? I'll be completely honest with you. I haven't rated Geelong as probably as highly as I should be, but their game style I really like. I think that's the way football should get played. Maintain possession through the back half, and when you get it forward of centre, have a big target to kick to and kick in there. I still maintain what I say about Geelong. Their smalls are not dominating like I thought they would have. They're not hitting the scoreboard, so that's their massive advantage. If everything clicks together, they could kick a massive score. We already know that they're one of the highest scoring teams, if not the highest maybe, in the competition. When they get that ball forward to centre, hit Hawkins, ball hits a deck, their smalls just need to do a little bit more. Last time they played against Brisbane, they really maintained possession. I think they had 30-plus marks and 60-odd more uncontested possessions. So if they get their game style, they're going to be hard to beat. But Brisbane, I'm really liking what they did against Richmond a couple of weeks ago. I like their style where they did chip the ball around, and that's their style to beat Richmond. But as soon as you can get the opportunity to break a line and get the ball forward, they did that as well. So they both play a similar type of game, and I reckon that could happen again on Saturday night. So this is riveting for me. I got no idea who's going to win. I just think the better team on that night, there's no advantage for either team. And the midfield's certainly a battle. Brisbane are batting really deep through there now, and they're not huge household names other than the Neil. I think McCluggage is playing a great role out in the wing, and Lyons in the guts as well. So if they can get in the middle and get an advantage through there with Steph Martin, he's playing, isn't he? Did Martin get back in? He's playing.
Big Steph's there, I think, yeah.
Yep. Big Steph's there. If they can get an advantage through him, because that's one area that Geelong really lack with their ruckman, it could be a stoppage game, and whoever win the clearances get the ball forward, and more inside 50s probably equals more score.
So getting the ball forward, Rammer, is going to be the key in how they do it from a Brisbane perspective, because Geelong defend so well. They come across and support each other so well. So is it almost a factor of chaos ball inside your forward 50 to try and unsettle the Geelong defenders?
Well, here's the thing with Geelong's defenders. So they've got Harry Taylor, they've got Colajasny, they've got Jack Henry, and they've got Blitzarves, who are all very tall. They're very, very tall. Then you throw Tom Stewart in there, who's another reasonably big sort of defender. He doesn't play that way. Then Buse and O'Connor. So they're not... And I said this last week, I would have loved to have seen more run from Geelong's defensive six, but they didn't need it last week because they were just so dominant from the opening bounce. But this is the interesting one for tomorrow night with Brisbane. Your chaos ball that you mentioned, because you're not going to necessarily get the big games out of Hipwood and McStay as big key forwards, I think you're right, Half. I think that's a great call. Like, using that chaos ball then to involve Charlie Cameron more at ground level, because if the ball's in the air going to Charlie Cameron, he's going to get monstered. Because Stewart's going to come across, Colajasny's going to come across, Henry's going to come across. You know, they're going to be all third men in those contests because Hipwood and McStay like to play higher up the ground. Like, if you look where Hipwood kicks a lot of his goals, Whitey, they're from outside forward 50. So speed on the game for Brisbane is really, really important. But I think at the same time, for Geelong, that speed on the game is important because of Harris Andrews, because he's so good at what he does, Whitey.
There's a there's a little key to here. Geelong play a really proactive... Sorry, Whitey, to jump in.
Jump in.
It is hard doing it like this. But the Geelong play is such a proactive defence. So the key for me is to shift the defence. Now, what I mean by shifting the defence, you've got to play the angles. You can't just play up one wing and kick the ball inside 50 down that side of the ground. You've got to be able to shift the angles, because Geelong will play, we know that Stewart will play 5, 6, 7 metres in front to the right-hand side of his opponent or to the left. So when you change the angles and shift the defence, you're making him run an extra 6 or 7 metres every single time. So for me, it's change the angles for Brisbane when they go inside 50.
Nice work, Boomer. Who wins?
No, about Whitey, for me,
you
was
just,
it?
You just select. Who wins, Boomer?
Sorry, Whitey. Brisbane for me.
Brisbane, Rammer?
Geelong.
Whitey?
I don't really know. I'm going Brisbane. I'm going Brisbane at home. I think their form's been excellent, so, yeah.
I'm on the Lions as well. All right, let's get to the Friday face-off.
The Breakfast Club's face-off for Ribera's in Port Melbourne for simply sensational seafood dining. Tomorrow's menu is still swimming.
$100 voucher up for grabs. So who gets cracking it today? Is it you, Rammer?
Yeah, it's me. We'll go with Kix tonight.
Kix, all right. Who's going to go first then? I'll go first. Sounds good to me. Stephen Hutchinson from Lang Warren. We're going to go Kix, righto. Let's play with Dion Prestia tonight with the most kicks for Richmond tonight against the Port Adelaide Power. Whitey, you can go second for Cameron Cooper from Lara.
Yeah, Cameron and I will be with Jaden Short tonight from the Tigers.
Nice work. Jaden Short will get some action because there'll be plenty of forward 50s for the Power. Boomer, you've got Shannon Brown from your hometown of Reservoir.
Yeah, beautiful. Good luck, Shannon. I was going to go Jaden Short as well. Whitey, so you got me there, and I am going to go with Dustin Martin.
Dusty Martin had a good week last week, I think, for Rammer. Rammer, you're the reigning champ. Colin Watson from Burren Beat is your contestant this week. Who's going to get most kicks for you, please?
Thank you very much. Basher Hawley.
Basha Hawley for Rama. All right, there are contestants for the Friday Face-Off. Register to the website if you want to be involved for grand final week next week. Have a great weekend, boys. We need to hand over to Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse.